So this week, I probably should have started the whole entire series with this topic because it's something I've alluded to during each of the topics. And everything we learned so far and will learn the rest of the summer starts kind of with this simple to understand but difficult thing to do, and that is having a daily and consistent quiet time with the Lord. Having a quiet time sets the tone for the day so that you're actually able to give out good vibes to other people. Now, any relationship we have in life takes time and effort, right? Any relationship that you have in life takes time and effort. And you hold a lot of titles in life, right? You might be a parent, you might be a spouse, you're a child, you're a friend. But when you actually spend time in those relationships, getting to know one another and allowing the other person to get to know you, that's when you actually fulfill the role of that title, okay? We can all say we're this or that, we're a parent, we're a spouse, we're a child, we're a friend, but if we don't spend time in those relationships, we only hold the title, but we're not really fulfilling what the relationship actually dictates. So the same is true for our Christian faith, right? We can be Christians, we can believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, we can believe that He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, and we can believe Him for salvation, and the scriptures tell us all who believe will have eternal life, and you can be a Christian, you can be on your way to heaven, and no one can ever take that away from you because you are a believer in Christ. But the truth of the matter is our role as Christians is to actually get to know God better, get to know who He is and what He's done in a deeper, more vibrant way. And not only that, open our lives up to God. When we start to do things like that, we actually become people that give out good vibes. So if you're new to your faith in Jesus, I want to define what this quiet time is. Some people call it devotion. Some people call it quiet time. Either way, whatever you want to call it, it's taking time each day to read or listen to God's word and to pray to Him, okay? It's two-way communication. God speaks to us through His word, and we speak to God through prayer. That time with Him each day will make us people that give out good vibes. So first, I want to start with this. Why it's important that we have this daily quiet time with the Lord. And I'm going to do that by studying the first 40 verses of Psalm 119. You're like, 40 verses? Yeah, we're going to get through 40 verses. Good thing we're not doing the whole Psalm 119, because anybody know how many is in there? It's like 176, I think. So then what I want to do is I want to give you tips that will help you to have a consistent quiet time. Now, Psalm 119, most scholars are unsure who actually wrote this psalm, but they do know that it was written by a godly man that had suffered. Some had suggested it was David, because David wrote many of the psalms. Some have suggested Ezra, and some have even suggested Daniel. But let's see what the psalm teaches about our quiet time with the Lord. Now, this psalm is not all about quiet time with the Lord, but we can glean truths out of this psalm about our quiet time with the Lord. So the first thing we're going to look at is this. During our quiet time, God's word reveals His will for us. God's word reveals His will for us. In life, we want to know what God's will is, right? People, as a pastor, this is a question people ask me all the time. Pastor Mike, what's God's will for my life? People want to know what God's will is. Obviously, you want to know what God's will is for your life. You're here this morning. You want to hear a word from Him. You want to know what He is saying to you. But some people fall into the trap of thinking God is going to miraculously speak to us. Like you're going to hear a voice out of the heavens and God telling you to do this or that. The truth is, God does speak, and He has spoken to each one of us through His word. Okay, let me just tell you this. God has given us His word, and He's spoken to each one of us personally through His word. If you're doing the Bible through the year and following along with the Bible recap podcast that I suggested in the beginning of the year, the host Tara Lee Cobble quoted a pastor this past week. So I was like, wow, that's gold, because I'm going to put it in my sermon. And basically what this pastor said is, he said, if you want to hear God speak, read His word out loud. Okay? If you want to hear God speak, read His word. That's God speaking to us. If you're looking for this miraculous like voice to come out, like, go do this, go do that. If you want to hear God speak, you need to find out what he actually has to say to you and I through his word. I want to turn your attention to Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. It says this. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. So what I want to do is I want to focus in on, in verse 4, he says, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Precepts are general rules intended to regulate our behavior or thought. So what the psalmist is saying here is you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. We go to God's word to find out what his will is, and guess what his will is for both you and I? It's to actually behave and think the way that God tells us to, okay? That's God's will. General will for your life is God wants you to follow after him. There's nowhere in the scriptures that you're going to find out like, only follow God if it's convenient. Only follow God if it's easy. Only follow God if you think it's helpful. Only follow God if the culture agrees with it. It basically just says, listen, here's my precepts, and here's the way that you should behave and think. So here's what happens. Every day when you're in God's word, you're finding out his will for your life. That's by learning how he wants you to behave and think. That's God's will. You're learning, how does God want me to respond to this? How does God want me to behave? How does God want me to think? What does he want me to do? Well, he wants me to follow after him. You'll never be out of the will of God if you're following after what he tells you to do through his word. But sometimes we get off track, right? We get off track, so we need daily time in God's word, which brings us to the next thing. God's word reveals our sin. God's word reveals our sin. Sometimes the sin we're committing is not evident to other people. Remember last week I talked about a little bit about the responsibility of a fellow Christian. Do you remember that? And I said sometimes when you see another Christian going the wrong way, as a fellow Christian, it's your responsibility to kind of like come alongside them in love and say, hey, you're going the wrong way. You shouldn't be going that way. That's not God's best for you. God would not desire you to do that. I'm here in your life to kind of help you stay on the straight path. Remember that? Well, the truth is sometimes we will sin and it's not evident to other people because it's like sins of the thought life, sins that are secret, sins that nobody else knows that are going on. And when we look at our lives and we compare them to culture, sometimes culture will not even define those thoughts and actions actually as sin. But here's what happens. When you have a daily time with the Lord, he uses that time to speak to you. Okay? He uses that time to convict you of those types of sins, to help you to realize this isn't what I should be doing. And maybe you've been here, right? You're like doing some kind of daily quiet time. Maybe you picked up a daily bread or something like that, and you have some kind of sin in your life, and you read it, and you're like, you kind of like get a little convicted, and you're like, I don't like this, okay? So you just stop, right? And then the next day you go back, and it's like seems to be like the same theme, and you're like, okay? And then you're like, I'm going to stop doing this. And then you turn on the radio, and there's some Christian station on that you didn't even program. You don't even know how it got there, okay? And the pastor on there is talking about that very thing, and you're like, shut up, okay? You're just like, leave me alone, okay? Here's the thing. You can eventually shut all the channels off, right? You can eventually not listen. But when you're in God's word on a daily basis, what happens is God uses those times to reveal our sin to us. Psalm 119, I want to look at Psalm 119, verse 9. It was our scripture reading today, but it says this. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I will seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I will declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Basically, verses 9 through 11 kind of sum it up. We walk in purity by learning what God's word says about purity. We store up God's word in our heart so that we will not sin against God. Verse 15 tells us we should meditate on his word. Now, meditate is kind of a hip and popular word right now, right? Anytime you hear people talking about like your mindset or working on yourself, if you go around in the secular world, you'll find people do this. They'll be like, okay, I need a time in the morning where I center myself, right? I meditate and I sit there and quiet and think. And actually, scientific studies have shown that meditation has emotional and physical health benefits. Now, this is not a surprise because God designed us to have a quiet time. But as believers, we have to remember what we need to meditate on, okay? We have to remember what we need to meditate on and what can center us. And that is the truth that God teaches in his word. You can get up in the morning and you can have your quiet time. And if you're anything like me, if you're having a quiet time and you're not meditating on God's word and looking at what God says, your mind is just going where? Everywhere else. Okay? But we center ourselves on the truth of God's word. The cornerstone of the word is Jesus and what he's done for us in the gospel message, right? Because guess what? Here's the thing. When you start to think on some of the sins that maybe no one else knows or not evident to other people, you start to get discouraged, right? You start to feel shame. You start to feel guilt. But the beautiful thing is when you center and meditate yourself on who God is and what he's done, not only does he tell you, yes, this is not acceptable, he also tells you, I love you. And I forgive you. You get that? Okay, you don't want to be stuck here saying like, okay, I feel terrible about myself. You want to move to here. Jesus loves me no matter what. He's forgiven me. He offers me forgiveness. So that daily time in his word will tell us where we're going wrong, but it will also remind us that he loves us and is willing to forgive us. And as an act of gratitude, we should seek to do what he desires us to do. Guess what? This can all happen for you every single day. It doesn't have to be here on Sunday. Obviously, here on Sunday is corporate worship and is something that God desires from each of his believers, but he also desires us to be spending time in his word, a quiet time with him each day, so that he can work on our hearts, so that he can continue to work on us, so that we can live a life that's pleasing to him and in consistency with his will. But now, during our quiet time, God's word brings focus to our life, because maybe you're looking for God's will and it's like, okay, I see what he desires from me. Maybe he's unearthing some sin where you're going the wrong way, but then you're wondering, okay, which way should I go? I see these commands, I see where I'm breaking things, but you know what? Then the psalmist goes into verses 17 through 24, and listen to what it says. It says, deal bountifully with your servant, that I might live and keep your word. So he's asking God, he's like, okay, I've done wrong. I'm working on this. I'm keeping your word and, deal bountifully with me. Then he says in verse 18, open my eyes that I might behold the wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules all the time. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. I just want to focus in on verse 18. He says, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law. You know what? The more you get into God's word, the more clarity and focus you have in life. the more clarity and focus you have in life. We gain focus on how we should handle ourselves morally, how we should handle ourselves in relationships, how we should deal with issues that come up, and what our purpose is in life. It's so important because basically what God's word does is it centers us and gives us focus each day. It helps us to understand what God desires and what the best is for our lives. We hear from God in his word, but he hears from us in prayer. Remember, this is two-way. God speaks, we respond. We speak, God responds. So during our quiet time, prayer opens our life to God. Prayer opens our life to God. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 25. He says this, "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told you of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart." So now what the psalmist is telling us, Psalm 119, 26, he said, "When I told you of my ways," what does he say? "You answered me. When I told you of my ways, you answered me." You know what? In life, you're going to have people that you value their opinion. You trust them for guidance. So you tell them things, right? And this is not a bad thing, especially if the person's a godly person, because you'll tell them things and then they'll give you advice. They'll give you guidance. They'll help you in your way. So here's the truth, though. When you tell the Lord about the things that are going on in your life, you're communicating that you trust him to guide you. You get that? When you tell the Lord, okay, you might have people, and those people might be very good for you. But if you don't have people, or if you do, it doesn't really matter. You need to open yourself up to the Lord and ask him for guidance. God, what should I do in this situation? When you're praying to the Lord, he's saying, "I told you my ways, and you answered me." Obviously, God knows what's going on in our life, but when we pray to him about the depths of what's going on in our lives, we're actually opening our lives up to him. We're actually opening our lives up to him. We're saying, "I value you." Some of you here that are parents, right? Parenting is not the easiest thing I've ever done. Would you agree with that? Okay? It's not the easiest thing. And you know when you have kids, right? You want the best for them. And you can tell them what the best for them is, right? And you know the look when they don't want what's best for them from you, okay? They think they know what's best for them, right? So they're not, it's like kind of like you're talking to like nobody, okay? And they're not listening. They don't want your opinion. They don't want to hear it. And they might even tell you that. But then there's that day, right? There's that day. And some of you maybe have adult children. You're still waiting for this day. But then there's that day where your kids are like, "Hey, I was wondering what I should do in this situation. I have a problem, and I really value your opinion. I love you. And it seems like you love me a lot too. You've done it." And there's that day, right? And those days come like in little glimmers of hope at different ages, right? And you see that day and you're just like, "Ah, that's my kid. They love what I have to say to them. They value me and they want my input." That's how God looks at us. That's how God looks at us. He tells us all these things, right? And like we're kind of, it's like kind of like he's talking to nobody if we're not opening our hearts up to him. But then there's that day when we pray to him, "Lord, I need you to help me in this situation. I don't know what to do here. I value and trust you. I appreciate your guidance. I'm looking at you as someone who loves me and wants the best for me." Now, if you're a parent here, that day when your kid says that, or those days when your kid says that, what do you like? You're like, "Yeah, I love this. They finally get it," okay? Do you know that's how God is with us? Finally, they get it. They spend time with me, he or she is spending time with me and valuing my opinion and what I believe and what I know to be true and that what I know is best for them. You know, this should be happening daily. Our prayer time should be happening daily. And during our quiet time, prayer reminds us this final thing, to rely on God. It reminds us to rely on God. He does want best for us, and he is best for us. So let's look at verse 33. It says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I might keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and do and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts in your righteousness. Give me life." The psalmist here says, give me understanding and lead me. It's basically, these are terms of reliance. Give me understanding and lead me. We can't do these things on our own, relying on our own power. Okay? We can't even have a quiet time on our own, relying on our own power. Our reliance has to be on the Lord, who he is and what he's done. Let me ask you this. How many times in life do you do things without praying about it? How many times in life do you do things without praying about it? And now I know this sounds silly for some people, right? For if somebody who doesn't believe in the Lord or somebody that doesn't have faith, they might look at the little things and be like, really? The God of this universe cares about the little things of your life, okay? You are a blip over the course of history in God's economy. Really? The God of this universe cares? And I would say this, he does, okay? Not a sparrow will drop to the ground without the Lord knowing about it, right? So in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says this. It says, pray without ceasing. Well, what does that really mean? Should I have my quiet time all day long? Okay, should I never stop praying? Well, John Piper teaches that praying without ceasing means at least three things. The first is a spirit of dependence should permeate all that we do. Okay, basically, so you're going through life, you start your day with that quiet time, there's like this spirit of dependence. Like, God, I'm relying on you. I'm expecting that you're going to take care of me in this situation. Every area of our lives should be prayed about. The second, it means repeatedly and often. Meaning this, you pray, but it's not just like, okay, like here's my quiet time. I like kneel next to my bed and like fold my hands and say my prayers and I'm done for the day, okay? That's not the idea here. The idea here is repeatedly and often. We pray even throughout the day. You pray while you're driving, pray while you're walking, pray while you have any time that's kind of quiet during the day. And the third is this, not giving up on prayer. Just because we did not get the desired outcome does not mean it hasn't worked or God hasn't answered. Pray without ceasing is not giving up on prayer. Okay? Because you know what? It's easy for people to give up on prayer, right? Because they say, I tried that and it didn't work out the way that I thought it should, so I'm done, okay? And I'll just tell you this. There's going to be many times that you pray and it doesn't work out the way you think it should, okay? The way you think it should. But that doesn't give you a ticket or a license to give up, okay? God has his will. We pray to show our reliance on the fact that he has a will. Don't give up on prayer. You know what? If you're continuing to pray for certain things, you might actually pray for something for over a decade and see the answer to it. You might see God work in a very special way. But on the other hand, you might pray for something. I mean, hey, I've been here for 24 years. You know how many people we've prayed for that were sick that actually died? You know how easy it would be for some people to be like, well, we prayed for this person and they still died of that sickness. How come God didn't answer? Well, guess what? It was in God's will to take them home at that time. It's not for me to question. The book of Romans says, who am I to even ask? Who am I to even ask or question the God of this universe? But what I do need to know is this. My reliance is based on him. And when I go to him in prayer, I'm displaying that reliance. So now that you're convinced that a quiet time is important, right? You are. Okay. Just shake your head. Humor me a little bit here. Okay. Now that you're convinced a quiet time is important, here's what I want to do. I want to give you some quick tips on how to make this happen in your life. The first tip is this. You got to make it a priority. It's got to be a priority. Corrie ten Boom said it this way. Don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it, okay? Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. Don't pray when you feel like it. Because guess what? When you don't feel like it, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, that's when you need it the most. When you don't feel like it, that's when you need it the most. So have an appointment. Make it a priority. Mark 1, we learn that Jesus got up early to pray. Why? Because one, it was quiet, and because two, he was alone, and because three, it was a priority. It was a priority for him. Tip two, have a plan. When will you do this? You have to figure out, when am I going to do this? When is the best time for me to get quiet, to actually make this happen? I would suggest early because it kind of sets the tone for the day. But some people, you know, some of you might not be able to think very clearly first thing in the morning. Just getting to work might be like a challenge for you. So here's the thing. When are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? What will you study? What will you study? Don't just play Bible roulette. Okay, let's see what the Lord has for me today. Whoa. Okay, don't do it that way, okay? Have some kind of plan. When will you do this? What will you study? Have a devotional plan. Have some kind of plan. We live in this culture, right, where we have like the YouVersion Bible app. You can search devotional plans on there. We have, Bible in the Year plans that you can read through, Our Daily Bread. Basically, what I did for you is on our church website, there's a resource link. You can actually click on there. There's a bunch of resources in our app. It says helpful links. You can click on there. Find something that works for you. Find something that works for you. The third thing is this, be creative. You know what? Some of you have been Christians for many, many years, and you're doing the same type of devotional every single year. Well, maybe change it up. Be creative. Add scripture memory into that. In the psalm, remember, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Maybe you haven't memorized scripture in many years. Maybe it's time to get back to that. Be creative. There's podcasts out there. There's sermons from other pastors. I link some up in that little link. Online courses. There's actually Dallas Theological Seminary. You can actually register and take online courses, Bible study courses for free online. You submit everything. You don't get any degree, but who cares? You don't need a degree to study God's word, right? But it's just something to get you into God's word so he's consistently speaking to you. Be creative. The fourth thing is this, be realistic, right? Don't leave here and say, I'm going to get into God's word an hour a day. And here's why I say don't do that, because you're not going to, okay? If you don't do anything, you're not doing an hour, okay? You're 7 minutes in, you're like, dude, this is hard, okay? Like, you're not going to do it. So be realistic, okay? Make achievable goals for yourself and work from there. If you're not doing anything, say, hey, 5-7 minutes, I'm going to do one of these Bible plans on my YouVersion Bible app. I'm going to take a daily bread and I'm going to read the daily bread. Just make it easy for yourself to start, and then you'll start to get into it more and more. And guess what? Some days it will go longer than other days. Some days will be shorter, but the point is God is speaking to you and you're speaking to him. Be realistic. Keep a journal. Prayer journal, study journal, write down your thoughts and questions after you read. A gratitude journal is a great thing, what you're thankful for. Keep track of your prayer requests. You pray for something, keep track of it. See how God is working. You look back and be like, wow, that's what I was praying for? That's so weird. And you know what? When you do stuff like this, and I know from experience, and you look back and you're like, man, I was praying for that. I feel like I had such little faith to believe that God was even going to work it out. And he's done so much more than I would ever have imagined. But you have that opportunity when you look back and see that. Tip number six, don't let failure stop you. Don't let failure stop you. You will miss days. I can guarantee it. There's going to be some busy days where you hit the ground running, where your alarm clock didn't go off, where you hit snooze, and guess what? You just didn't have the time. You ran out, and then halfway through the day, you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about the whole quiet time thing. I'm trying to do this. Listen, don't let failure stop you. Just pick up where you left off. Pick up where you left off. If any of you have ever been involved in a New Year's resolution, right, you know that failure happens, right? But you could just pick up where you left off. Don't let it stop you. It's not like God's sitting up in heaven like, okay, Mike missed Tuesday. Now I'm mad at him. I'm not listening on Wednesday, okay? God's not like that. That's not the God we love and serve, okay? So don't let failure stop you. And tip number 7 is this. Realize there is spiritual warfare going on that is trying to keep you away from having this quiet time. Realize this, and it comes in many ways, shapes, or form. It might be the little people that live in your house, okay? I'm talking about your children. They might try to steal that time away from you. Mommy, daddy, I don't want you. They're not saying I don't want you to do that, but guess what? It's trying to steal that quiet time. Another thing we have is we've all been blessed, right, with a computer in our pocket, haven't we? We've all been blessed with this thing. And as good as can come out of it with things like the YouVersion Bible app and devotional plans and different things we can do on our phone, guess what? It steals quiet time from you. If you have a problem with that, don't use your phone for quiet time, right? Don't use that. Put your phone in your house. Here's a novel idea. Put your phone in your house and take a walk away from your phone. If you're at least my age, you remember the day, right? Remember that day? If somebody called you and you weren't home, tough luck, okay? Oh, I wish we can go back to that day, right? But we can, okay? Shut your phone off. Put it somewhere where it's not going to bother you and say, you know what? I need 20 minutes. I just need 20 minutes to get with the Lord and spend time with him. Because you know what? Satan and his demons don't want to happen for you to ever have that. Because the more you grow closer to God, the more you trust him. The more you grow closer to God, the more you follow him. The more you serve him, the more you send good vibes. And guess what? Other people see who Jesus is.